Welcome to Clarvita Insights with Sophia
and Alice,
a podcast where we get all the insights together.
From our Reiki Level 1 teacher, as well as from Michelle, we learned bits and pieces of where Reiki and modern Western science meet. Today, Sophia and I will share what we found interesting when it comes to this topic.
As we've discussed in previous episodes, Reiki is an entirely complementary treatment, meaning it can be used alongside other health therapy and allopathic medicine. Allopathic medicine is just scientifically backed modern medicine. And because of that, Reiki should not be used as an alternative treatment. So please keep that in mind while we discuss some of the science behind Reiki.
Dr. James Oshman, PhD, developed a simple science-based definition of Reiki. It is as follows. Healing energy, whether produced by a medical device or projected from the human body, is energy of a particular frequency or set of frequencies that stimulates the repair of one or more tissues.
That sounds so complicated. Let's talk about that just for a minute. So if we zoom into our body, you know, into our cells, you'll find atoms. And if you zoom in even more, you'll see that these atoms are made of protons, neutrons, and electrons. And again, if you zoom in one more time, you'll see that these electrons, protons, and molecules are all made up of quantum particles. Now, I know just hearing about quantum particles or quantum anything might raise some anxiety for some people, but basically, these particles cannot be broken further down. It's the smallest that we can go. Things that are this small no longer behave the way molecules do. For example, they don't have that magnetic attraction and repulsion creating kinetic energy. At the quantum particle level, we can see that things operate as a vibration or a wave. You can see this very clearly. Maybe you've seen it with music waves, or for example, if you throw a pebble into water, the ripples around it are actually waves. These waves, these vibrations, they make up all of existence at its smallest core.
You've probably met someone that you just can't be around, like you can't stand them, and you've probably met someone that you just clicked with. So if you think about it in a vibrational level, you know, the vibes, everything we experience is either in harmony or in dissonance with our own vibrational pattern, or the frequency, altitude, and wavelengths that we are emitting. There are millions of vibrational patterns in our body, but in general, everything has harmonic resonance. Back to our vibrations. Our vibe is the way we operate in the world. These vibes ripple outward just like the stone thrown in the water. These are also waves. The ripples or vibes of other people can go together with ours, or they can clash, causing bigger waves or destruction.
Reiki works with exactly that. The different vibrations can either be in harmony or in dissonance with each other, like we said, and if they are in dissonance, there is some sign in the energetic body. This can include heats that might come from a broken bone. If you ever felt around a broken bone, you might feel some heats, or from an infection, you know, a fever. It can also be swelling, pain, a sound, or even emotional and intuitive sensations. These are all symptoms that are used as indications that something isn't vibing or it's not working the way it should be. And that's how we detect where somebody should be treated with Reiki, by laying their hands over it and performing Reiki.
Some people may claim that this is to do with like the placebo effect. So basically what the placebo effect is placebos are treatments that contain no active substances which are meant to affect someone's health. Researchers often use placebos when testing new treatments by giving a group of people the real thing and another group of people a placebo. However, they're not told who got what. So researchers compare the effects of the real treatment with the effects of the placebo. Through this, they can determine the effectiveness of the new drug and check for side effects. Sometimes people can respond to a placebo positively or negatively. This is something that once again strengthens this idea of the mind-body connection, because having a reaction to the placebo has to do with our expectations that a drug will work. Thus, our body reacts to essentially nothing because our mind told us to. So while I was researching this topic, I found an article published by McGill, where they just completely refuted the ability of Reiki to heal. And in this article, they made a number of incorrect assumptions and claims. For instance, they said, through hand placement above and on the client's body, a Reiki master believes that they are channeling their God's energy to heal the client. And this is a complete misinterpretation, not least as it claims that there's some necessary involvement of a god. Reiki is the transfer of energy which exists in everything, and that has nothing to do with a higher being. So people of all faiths or no faith can all practice Reiki. The article, it also made like a number of claims which don't align with Reiki. Like they had like this massive leap in logic that was saying that, oh, if Reiki can heal tissues, then why not regrow a limb? Allopathic medicine can't do that either.
Well, yeah, it's almost like it has to compensate for not being a Western practice by regrowing limbs or something. Oh my. Yeah. So Reiki isn't a placebo, and there are some ways that we have seen this, that we have seen that healing does exist from Reiki. And one example of that is an experiment. And here's a little bit about it. So William F. Bankston witnessed many cases of cancer remission alongside a healer, a Reiki healer, who used the laying on of hands technique. That's basically where you just hover your hands or you lightly touch your patient. He apprenticed in techniques to reproduce those healing effects because the healer said he couldn't do it for this experiment. And the experiments used five experimental mice with mammary adenocarcinoma. And this disease has a predicted 100% fatality between the first 14 and 27 days after the injection into the mice. Bankston treated the mice 1 hour every day for 1 month. And ultimately, all of the treated mice in this first experiment, all of their tumors closed, and they went on to live their normal lifespan. Three other experiments similar to this one were done with skeptical university volunteers. These were all university students. From these following experiments, 87.9% of the 33 experimental mice were cured. The control mice who were not treated and who were sent to a different city all died within the predicted time frame. So what was really interesting about this, just like besides the point, the biology majors, they actually had less success with their mice, and they were hypothesizing that maybe it was because they, kept their medical journals, they took notes of everything instead of just going with the flow. So that's just an interesting thing that I found in this article when I was reading the study.
So Reiki has a lot of electrical and magnetic qualities to it because of this idea of it being from quantum particles. So speaking of this, a magnetic field is produced in the surrounding space where electrical currents flow through conductors, conductors being wires or living tissue. Because living tissue conducts electricity, a magnetic field around the body can be created. This is called the biomagnetic field. These fields can be measured with instruments like the magnetometer and the superconducting quantum interference device, which is also sometimes referred to as SQUID, and even in electrocardiograms for the heart. So you can say we are electric, and it's very much a science thing.
Oh my god, yeah, the name is so cute for the superconducting quantum thing. Squid, adorable. But anyways, with technological advances and changing societal needs, tools for measuring the biomagnetic fields are becoming way more sophisticated. But in Western medicine, we have used energy-based technologies for a long time, like MRIs, pacemakers, defibrillators, electrocardiograms around the heart, and electroencephalograms around the brain. And working with the biomagnetic field for therapeutic reasons has been a medical practice since the 1920s. So with that little initial comparison out of the way, let's get down to business. Pulsing magnetic fields can activate the healing of tissues, bone, and other body parts. Now, this is an actual thing used time and time again in modern medicine, like we just said. For example, the FDA approved pulsing electromagnetic field therapy for bone healing, and this uses a frequency range of 7 hertz. Now, remember this frequency. So, optimal levels of electromagnetic frequencies to stimulate tissue repair in humans are in the extremely low frequency range. This is an actual like name, extremely low frequency range. So, this uses 2 hertz for nerve regeneration, 7 hertz for bone regrowth, and 15 hertz for capillary formation. And guess what? Dr. John Zimmerman found that Reiki practitioners and other energy therapists all emitted extremely low frequencies from their hands when treating clients. How cool is that? Anyways, the range of the magnetic fields was 0.3 to 30 hertz, which is the same range for healthy tissues and organs. And interestingly, this is the part where I told you to remember, the most frequent frequency was 7 hertz, which again is the same frequency for the pulsing electromagnetic field therapy for bone regrowth.
Performing Reiki requires certain contributions on the practitioner's side. This includes good intentions. So the heart creates the strongest electromagnetic field in the body. Recent discoveries show that this field becomes more coherent as the practitioner thinks thoughts of healing and love. There's a paper entitled The Electricity of Touch, Detection and Measurement of Cardiac Energy Exchange Between People. This paper found evidence that electromagnetic energy produced by the heart exchanged when people touch or are in proximity. When I read this, like, my first thought was like, oh, I like hugs. Wait, that's like the whole thing of different love languages, and like that's the physical touch love language, basically. So that's, I guess, just a transfer of energy between people. So I just thought that was quite cool. Yeah, so the method of recording this was using signal averaging techniques to show that one person's electrocardiogram, or ECG, signal is registered in another person's electroencephalogram, or EEG, chart. Nonlinear stochastic resonance is the mechanism discussed to detect and to amplify weak, coherent electromagnetic fields. So back to our heart. The close contact of the practitioner and of the client, combined with the practitioner's sincere, caring intentions and attitude, can increase the coherence of the heart's electromagnetic field.
Wow, that's so beautiful. I love that. Now, this kind of goes alongside that, in terms of the contributions of the Reiki practitioners while they're performing Reiki. So they also use Reiki symbols. And looking at or visualizing a Reiki symbol results in neural, so brain activity, that creates electrical and magnetic fields. Now this happens through the physiological process called amplification. Seeing the symbol in the retina of the eye creates a pattern of electrical activity that goes through the optic nerve, optic meaning eye, and to the optic lobe of the brain. Now the amplification takes place because the cortical map of the brain is much larger than the retina. Therefore, the nerves in the retina connect with so many other nerves so that it can reach the cortical map. And this way, electrical energy can spread over the large area. The electrical and magnetic fields produced by the neural activity in the brain do not actually stay in the head, but instead they move throughout the body by the nervous and circulatory systems and the connective tissues. And this pretty much explains the connection between seeing something, between the practitioner visualizing a symbol, and having that energy, that electrical energy more specifically, be channeled and then transferred throughout the body of the practitioner and then onto the client. So it's actually a science thing, and it's a really beautiful concept.
Although Reiki has had some research done, there are often debates on the integrity of the conclusions because of things such as the possible unsuitability of randomized trials and the inability to properly document the biofield. However, this shouldn't throw you off of Reiki because many of the benefits are not conventionally measured, such as improved quality of life, patient satisfaction, and stress reduction. Also, a sense of spiritual connection and enhanced self-esteem. Reiki is very closely related to meditation. So meditation can help you with all sorts of issues. It's been scientifically proven to significantly change our brains and can assist when it comes to issues such as insomnia, addiction, and even chronic pain.
And yeah, just for your information, Reiki also has some measurable health effects that overlap between studies, and this includes improved heart rate, improved blood pressure, less job burnout, and even the reduction of anxiety and pain.
Which suggests that it's useful for relaxation, fatigue, depressive symptoms, and overall well-being.
So yeah, Reiki is a great complementary modality that anybody can use in order to improve their overall health, overall well-being. But remember, just make sure not to use it as an alternative to modern medicine that is needed for your particular conditions. So that brings us to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for being here. And we hope you found this as interesting as we did.
Cheerio.
Ciao. Arrivederci.
Claire Vita Insights.